περισσότερος κόσμος.
Most people come to Crete for its beaches. But what are they missing if they haven't had the chance to discover its winter side? Siloritis, this iconic mountain, dresses in white during the winter months and invites aspiring skiers to enjoy a completely different experience. Every 2 years, the Piera Creta races are held here with great success, sparking once again the conversation about the need for a ski resort in the area. So we reached out to Mr. Nikiforos Stiakakis, who talks to us about the organization of the races, and also to Mr. Giannis Kotalias, who shares his experiences of skiing on Siloritis. Finally, the mayor of Anoia, Mr. Sokratis Kefalogiannis, explains how Anoia can embrace skiing without losing its authenticity. Every 2 years, Siloritis hosts a very special meeting that promises beautiful moments, adventure, and adrenaline. The Piera Creta event goes beyond the borders of Crete and Greece and has loyal fans in many parts of the world. But here with us, in the Discover Crete studio, we have Mr. Nikiforos Stiakakis, who will introduce us to the secrets of skiing on Siloritis. Mr. Stiakakis, first of all, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Let's talk about how the idea of Piera Creta started. Let's start from the beginning.
I'll use a Cretan word. It started as a kouzoulada, a bit of craziness.
Nice.
A handful of us on the island knew that Crete gets snow, and that the island has three big mountain ranges, the Lasithi Mountains, Siloritis, and Lefka Ori. We would meet with mountain people from the rest of Greece. And to be honest, they would laugh at us when we told them to come to Crete to ski, to do winter sports.
They thought Crete was just beaches.
Yes, they thought we had some patch of snow, a little bit here and there, that maybe stretched 200 to 300 meters for us to play on. This mockery, combined with a bit of Cretan pride, made us think, and no, this has to change. And we thought of creating an event, a race, to invite them and have everything organized so it would be easy for them to decide to get on a plane or a boat and come to Crete, which they didn't believe had what we were telling them. Remember, there was no social media back then.
Of course.
Only YouTube existed. So we did it, and it was an immediate success.
How many people participated the first time?
There were around 60 to 70 participants, but they were influential people in the ski mountaineering community in both Greece and Europe.
Did people from abroad also come to that first event?
Yes, for example, through a series of coincidences, Konstantinos Papanikolaou came, the director who later made a film about the island and skiing here. He's Greek-American. So all this managed to highlight something that was spread by word of mouth about ski mountaineering in Europe, and that gave it a mythical dimension. That something is happening there, what is it? Only if we go will we see it.
Of course.
There was no social media.
And out of the 60 people who took part, which year was that for the first time?
In 2013, we were organizing it for it to take place in March 2014.
Right. And in 2024, during the latest event, how many people participated?
There were 200 because we now set a limit. For the past 3 years, three editions now, we set a limit of 200 participants. Not because the mountain can't hold more people, but because we want everyone to experience what we call Piera Creta, which is about connecting with the locals there, experiencing the culture of mountainous Crete. So they have to be able to be hosted, to have somewhere to sleep. Imagine that for every participant you multiply by 1.5 or 2, to get the number of people traveling. Their companions.
Of course.
Friends, spouses, so the capacity of the area determines this number. And imagine there are about 100 volunteers involved too.
That would have been one of my questions, whether when we invite them, can we actually host them? Is there a prospect for this to grow? As you mentioned accommodations, could this expand or is the current number of participants also a desirable limit so that everything runs smoothly? because I imagine a race with 200 people can't easily go up to 1,000 without compromising the quality somehow.
It's not so much about compromising quality, but more about safety. Safety is a big issue. This activity and race take place in an area without infrastructure. It's not inside a stadium. It's an environment with harsh conditions and unpredictable factors. Surely it may not go up to 1,000 participants, which isn't the goal anyway. But it can certainly grow, and this is actually the essential purpose of Piera Creta now. It started as a crazy idea. Soon after, we realized we had in our hands a development tool, which we needed to help others, let's call them stakeholders, to see it too.
Decision makers, people who make decisions.
Local authorities like the region, the municipalities, and the communities, which actually happened, they embraced it. Without the support of the region and the local municipalities, we wouldn't be able to implement it, and even the Greek National Tourism Organization, GNTO, has realized its significance and contributes.
Right.
So yes, the potential is there. This area, all of mountainous Crete, can follow a development path different from what we are used to on the northern coast, not because it's better or worse, just different.
One thing doesn't exclude the other. It complements it well. Mr. Stiakakis, what will someone actually experience when they come here? You have participated in races in other places too. Some of those who come to Siloritis have raced elsewhere as well. What is the difference? I mean, if someone listening to us now from Austria, for example, why should they come here and not go somewhere else?
Well, let me tell you something. In 2019, we had one of the toughest Piera Cretas we've ever organized. The weather was very bad, there was fog, we were thinking of cancelling it. Safety issues were raised. We made the decision to go ahead, making some changes. When it was over, some French participants came over, really excited. And they tell me, in France we have machines to clear the roads, we have ski resorts, we have infrastructure. We can't organize this kind of race. A little later some Austrians come and tell me pretty much the same thing. So I wondered, just like the rest of the team, why are they telling us this? They're not mocking us, but why? Where does this come from? In the end, whoever comes, thanks to Piera Creta, will taste Crete, will experience Crete. Because we are a unique place, whether we like it or not. At some point I hope we'll realize this in its true dimension, and we'll showcase it and protect it. Not just in terms of our natural environment, our gastronomy, our primary sector, but also in the culture of our people, who combine craziness, courage, kindness, many beautiful traits. This is what people come into contact with, and even if the locals don't speak English well, they communicate, exchange smiles and good energy, and the visitor feels this and leaves enchanted.
They leave full of Crete. In a few words,
they leave full of Crete.
Let's talk a bit about what someone needs in order to take part in Piera Creta. What experience they should have, and which age groups it addresses. Are there races also for younger skiers?
After a few years, we introduced a children's race as part of the event. They can do a smaller, more fun version of the race. Even kids who do ski mountaineering, now for adults. What is required is basic training. Being engaged with ski mountaineering as an activity. Knowing how to use their equipment. And move around in the snowy mountains, in the snowy landscape. Beyond that, you don't need to be an athlete. There are people who take part in Piera Creta, who are world champions. And others who come simply to do the route at a tourist pace. Instead of doing it in 1.5 hours, they'll do it in 3, enjoying a walk, a hike in the mountains. So there's nothing else you need except to love the activity and the company.
You mentioned earlier that if the number of participants increases too much, there might be a safety issue. Is it generally safe to ski on Siloritis outside the Piera Creta event? We've had recently, There are many incidents involving people who want to climb so high when it's snow-covered. And unfortunately, the image of a visitor calling the fire department, the ambulance service because they need help, is common in all seasons in Crete. Siloritis is an area where I suppose someone has to know the mountain or have someone with them who does, in order to start skiing. They can't just head off into the mountains alone.
No, you're absolutely right. No one can just head into the mountains alone, just like I'll put it another way, no one could just go out to sea alone. They have to learn to swim.
Of course.
Otherwise they'll drown, and I won't sugarcoat it, I'll say things as they are. Activities in general involve a certain level of risk, whether we are playing tennis or dealing with other issues. Even more so activities that take place out in nature, whether it's ski mountaineering or windsurfing, because you're dealing with nature itself, with the weather, with things that can change from one minute to the next, so it requires knowledge, familiarity, maturity, and responsibility. And still, there are always possibilities of accidents or things we hope never happen. This applies everywhere, in every type of activity. From summer by the sea, where thousands of us enjoy it, but there are always some. They'll drown or put themselves in danger. The same thing happens in the mountains. That's why we need to be serious, responsible, and mature, and not just do whatever we feel like. Even more so on Siloritis and in Crete. Because people think, since we are a southern mountain, a southern island, they don't expect to encounter conditions that they do end up facing. Like ice, the moment the sun sets, let's say, half an hour of shade on a slope. And instantly the snow hardens, freezes, and you can't walk on it. Some people take this too lightly.
Lately there's been a lot of talk about the need to create and operate a ski resort in the area. Do you think this is an infrastructure we really need, or could it perhaps be a bit unnecessary, given that it might change the character of the area?
Nothing is completely unnecessary. I look at everything based on what my goal is, what I want to achieve. So, really, nothing is right or wrong. If I want to start a diet, I need to define my goal. Do I want to lose or gain weight? My choices depend on that, whether they are in the right direction or not. If I want to gain weight, I need to make different choices. So here we have Crete, at a time when climate change has affected the frequency of snowfall and the availability of snow across Europe, but not here. Ski resorts are investments, and they require large amounts of capital to set up. Their financial viability is not guaranteed. Financial viability is not guaranteed in Greece. I won't say all of them, because I think the ski resort in Kalavrida is financially viable, but the rest are not. They operate at a loss, subsidized by the state budget. In Europe, it's more or less the same story for quite a few. But they are the flagship attractions of a tourist area. So all the other local businesses chip in to keep them running. And they operate year-round with other models they've developed. And those investments were made back in the 60s and 70s, when things were very different. Now here, for us, it would be like a short joke. If we say we're going to build a ski resort, to compete with whom? When in France we go to the Alps every year, you hop on a lift, and you from Heraklion, down to Asturuja, you take another road and you back in Heraklion again. The areas are huge, with different infrastructure. We simply can't compete in attracting a Russian oligarch or someone else with deep pockets to come and spend money in the area. So what do we want to do? There's an audience that wants to come because Crete is an exotic, untouched destination. That's what we need to support. And at the same time, what do we need? For Cretans to be able to take their first steps in skiing, to get trained in it. This can be done with leave-no-trace infrastructure, meaning facilities that don't leave a footprint and don't require huge investments, where you have a small-scale, let's say, ski area, so that we here can learn and train, because that's our need, nothing else. Someone who goes to the Alps is never going to come here to do alpine skiing at a ski resort. and Crete should look at this on a regional level, how it's going to develop and what direction it's going to give to its three mountain ranges, in order to move forward with what we call skiing, and to offer a unique tourism product for the winter season.
Great. And let's close by giving us a few details about the next event in 2026. Should we look forward to it?
If everything goes well, yes.
Have preparations started for that event?
We'll start slowly this March to get things moving again, to organize the next Piera Creta.
Are there people who come back again and again?
Yes, and they bring even more friends along, from Austria, Norway, around 12 to 13 countries from all over the world.
So it's a date that keeps getting renewed.
Yes, yes. Right now it's one of the most well-known and highly regarded races in Europe.
Great. Mr. Stiakakis, thank you so much for everything you've shared with us.
Thank you too.
But are there people coming from other parts of the country to enjoy skiing on Siloritis? On the other end of our line we have Mr. Giannis Kotalias, who will share his experience with us. Mr. Kotalias, first of all, welcome to Discover Crete.
Good morning to you and congratulations on the initiative, an effort that can definitely promote skiing in the mountains of Crete. And I'll start by saying that it really is a unique experience.
How many times have you been to Crete for skiing, and which areas do you usually include in your plans?
I include at least one visit per winter season to the mountains of Crete in my annual schedule. It's like a tradition for many of us from the rest of Greece. Once every winter season, we come to Crete to ski, either on Siloritis or in the White Mountains.
So it's something, as you said, that's a tradition for the skiing community, so to speak. Are there differences between Siloritis and Lefkaori?
At this point, I would first like to highlight that we are talking about the activity of ski mountaineering. In other words, about people who go up to the mountains and both climb and ski down them. Crete does not have an organized ski resort. Ski mountaineering is an activity where, by using special skins attached under our skis, we are able to ascend the slopes. And then, by removing them, we ski down just like we would at a ski resort. So, from this perspective, with the help of this specific equipment, this specialized gear, but also with the know-how that anyone involved in this activity should have, being trained and informed in these techniques, we can climb and ski down in mountains that have no infrastructure. So, through this activity of ski mountaineering, we visit Crete. The two mountain ranges have many similarities but also some important differences. Siloritis, for sure. Siloritis hosts the Piera Creta event, and this alone is the main reason for us to visit it every other year. It's an established event now, we never miss it. The effort made by the local team is truly admirable. And the Siloritis Mountains have more, I would say, of an alpine character in the sense that your eyes can get lost in snow-covered valleys, peaks, some higher, some lower. And it's an ideal place for an average skier. Someone who practices ski mountaineering at a moderate level to enjoy a beautiful day on the snowy peaks of the mountain range. Lefkaori are a bit steeper, a bit more rugged. And I think they attract the good, or rather the best skiers, mountaineer skiers. Lefkaori have the great advantage that for people with experience, they can offer a multi-day crossing, which passes through the mountain shelters, the mountaineering refuges, Kalergi and Katsavelli. And I would say that this is one of the most beautiful experiences someone could have. In the Greek mountains, crossing Lefko Ori.
But as you pointed out, it is for experienced people, and of course always with all the necessary equipment and knowledge, because you can't just show up and expect to ski in Crete.
Exactly. The changing weather conditions, the variability of the terrain itself, make the activity particularly demanding, and there are often risks involved in the process. For this reason, visitors to these mountains need to be trained and educated, or otherwise be accompanied by a mountain guide, someone certified to guide people safely in snowy mountain terrain with skis. And in this way ensure the, I would say, the safety of the group and the successful outcome of the trip. At this point, I would like to add something else that makes visiting Crete ultimately a very easy process. We can board the ferry from Piraeus on Friday night, and by early Saturday morning we are in Chania. We get in our car, and within less than 2 hours we are at the base of the routes. That's where any of our excursions begin, whether for a day or a weekend. And by taking the Sunday night ferry, we can be back in Piraeus early Monday morning, ready to go to work after having had an incredible experience.
Mr. Kotalias, as you mentioned earlier, and as we know, there is currently no ski resort in Crete. Do you think there is a public that would use it if there were? So, if something like that happened, do you think it would fill up every year?
Look, right now in Greece there are over 15 active ski resorts. Most of them are small, with just a few slopes, which you could count on one hand, and even fewer lifts. There are of course the four big central ski resorts in the country, spread out across its length and breadth. But the people who come to Crete, or go to Mount Olympus, or head to Taygetos, or any of these beautiful mountains without ski resorts, go there precisely because there is no ski resort.
It offers a different experience since there's nothing built there. It's more authentic, would you say?
Yes, it's a completely different experience to approach a mountain without infrastructure or human intervention. It's a process I would call a peaceful approach, a freer perspective, and that's exactly what these people seek from these mountains. So I don't think that if a ski resort opened in Crete, it wouldn't be successful or wouldn't attract people, but I don't think that's what's missing. What's missing is the better organization of activities around these mountains, creating some themed parks with some basic infrastructure for accommodation and perhaps food for visitors, so their stay can be more pleasant. And honestly, I don't believe that building a large facility with high energy consumption, permanent infrastructure, massive pylons, concrete, and roads is what Crete needs to attract interest. What's missing are actions like yours. What's missing is word of mouth, the communication of the real, authentic, wild beauty of these mountains. More events like Piera Creta to make these mountains known to a wider audience, so that people can discover them with knowledge, skill, purity, and always guided by the authentic experience.
Very well, Mr. Kotalias. To wrap up, I'd like you to address someone not just from the rest of Greece but from around the world, who might want to visit Crete in winter but hasn't done so yet, someone who loves skiing. We understand you would encourage them to come, but what advice would you give them before they do?
Would definitely encourage them. It's an experience I would recommend to anyone in the world. I happen to have traveled quite a bit and lived for 2 years in Canada, in British Columbia, one of the most developed ski areas globally. So I have a pretty good benchmark. Crete definitely combines beautiful landscapes, high mountains, skiing with a view of the sea. We used to say that skiing in Crete is like skiing between Europe and Africa. And all this comes wrapped in Cretan culture, tradition, and hospitality. That undoubtedly stands out from anywhere else in Greece. So the only advice I would give is to carefully choose their route, so that they complete a route and set a goal that is right for them, for their level. In these mountains, it's best not to try to exceed our capabilities, but to stay within them, because that way we protect ourselves from unnecessary risk and danger. So I would advise them to carefully choose a route that suits their level, and if they need support from mountain huts or a guide, to contact the mountaineering clubs and the people who spend most of their lives in the mountains of Crete. Among them is the whole team of Mavro Privado and the organizers of Piera Creta. And I would also suggest they choose the right time of year, because there are periods during the winter when the mountains may be icy due to heat or high humidity followed by a drop in temperature. These conditions create ice on the mountains, so hiking becomes a bit more demanding, especially during dry periods. It's not certain that the mountains will always be covered in snow from base to summit. So it's important to read the conditions, take care of your group, be aware of your own limits, and plan every excursion carefully, in order to avoid turning it into an unpleasant experience.
Great. Mr. Kotalias, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us, and we wish you beautiful and always safe routes.
Thank you too, and I wish you every success with your podcast and your work.
Take care. But how can Anoia absorb the wave of visitors that will come with the development of mountain skiing in the area? How can this happen without losing the authentic identity of a place so deeply loved by those who know it? Here with us in the Discover Crete studio is the mayor of Anoia, Mr. Sokratis Kefalienis. Mr. Kefalienis, welcome and thank you for accepting our invitation.
The pleasure is mine, representing my hometown and having the chance to share its successes, many of which remain unknown to most people.
Has Anoia been ready to welcome all these visitors? We see every weekend, especially in winter, long queues forming, huge demand in some taverns, meaning people have to reserve a table or leave and just play in the snow before heading back. For locals in Crete, this is a familiar sight, but I imagine for visitors who don't know exactly what's going on in Anoia, this could be surprising. So is the community ready to absorb more visitors?
Our goal is not high visitor numbers that would create problems, not only in managing them, but also in the experience the visitor receives. A visitor who has been inconvenienced cannot leave with a good impression, no matter how good the food was. So our aim is to create the infrastructure and the conditions. And I would say that in terms of infrastructure, everything regarding accessibility and parking has already been set in motion. In the coming years, we will see this plan implemented. But even now in Anoia, it's easy for someone to find a place to eat. The dining spaces in Anoia can accommodate a lot of people. What we are looking for, and this is part of our strategy, is how we can increase overnight stays. And this is a second indicator we've been measuring since the pandemic, where visitors are coming and staying in Anoia, whether they're from Crete, the rest of Greece, or the rest of the world, they choose to stay overnight. So in the coming period, we need to give a stronger push to entrepreneurs interested in investing in accommodation and in developing activities. This is the second major area where we are lagging behind in the wider region, and which we need to look at very carefully.
Great. Let's go back to the topic of skiing. There's been a lot of discussion about the need for a ski resort to operate in the area. It's a request from many people. However, some people who have experienced this activity and have comparisons with other regions tell me there is also a risk that once this center is created, something of the natural beauty of the place might be lost. What is the position of the municipality and what do you believe is the ideal scenario for the area?
On the subject of the ski resort and skiing in general, or, to put it differently, snow-related activities, I believe we have both the experience and the means to innovate. Perhaps, as I mentioned earlier, when many people hear the term ski resort, skiing, they might picture scenes from a movie they've seen or from a visit they may have had to another ski resort. Skiers going up and down, slopes being shaped, cutting through forests and various landscapes. I believe that if we invest in this type of product, we will always be second best. And it is not my choice for us to be second. My choice is for us to be first in a product we can develop that can reflect the character of our land, and certainly without harming the natural environment. The idea of a large cable car that would offer easy access to Siloritis, I would only consider it if its main purpose was to serve, mainly in the summer, the large volume of tourists we have in Crete. That is, for it to be an attraction, offering quick access to the summit of Siloritis, where, indeed, from the top you can see everything. You can see the Libyan Sea, the Aegean Sea, the cities, the villages, and then come down and enjoy your afternoon swim at the beach. So, placing it within such a context, the cable car would indeed have value and financial viability.
It would make sense.
So as to attract the interest of travel agents or tourism entrepreneurs to invest in it. But we, as local authorities, as local communities, and I emphasize the plural of local communities, because the wealth lies on the northern slopes of Siloritis. There are Anoia with their area, but also Milipotamos with its own space, and mountainous Milevici with its own. And I believe that the northern slopes of Siloritis are ideal, if you will, not for a ski resort, but for a snow park, where the main winter activity related to skiing would be ski mountaineering. This is what the kids from Piera Creta do. This is what has given us pages in the New York Times, but also in National Geographic, placing us among the best slopes, especially in March for ski mountaineering. So we should invest in that. And because it has happened to me, I have come across groups. When you get, out of the blue, 7 people from Austria coming to do ski mountaineering on Siloritis, you realize that these people have the financial means to travel to this area.
This is exactly the kind of tourism we want.
I truly believe this is the kind of skiing we want. At the same time, though, we will also create the infrastructure that will introduce locals, especially Cretans, to the snow and teach them how to behave in the snow and how to have fun in it.
But let's be honest, most months in Crete are summer, and the majority of visitors come during the summer.
And since Siloritis, as part of the Global and European Geopark Network under UNESCO, so is already an attraction, the old ski resort we used to talk about could become either the starting point or a station for a trail, whether walking, mountaineering or cycling, starting from the east and reaching the west, or vice versa. And visitors will gather images, experiences. And in this way, we will have a multiplier effect abroad, allowing us to have a more manageable tourism product. which is how our discussion started.
I'd like to finish with a prediction. Considering all the restrictions you've mentioned, when could we be talking about a more organized effort regarding skiing on Psilloritis?
I believe it will probably coincide with the end of this municipal term, but I have really set it within the next 2 years for all the necessary infrastructure to be in place so that we can also develop the strategy accordingly. Recently, the municipality of Anoia had the great honor of being selected for the best tourism village by the United Nations World Tourism Organization, and it was an initiative I wanted the municipality of Anoia to take part in because, after reading the criteria of the best tourism village program, and what the World Tourism Organization and the UN want to promote through it, I saw exactly what I want for Anoia. And what is that? I don't want a dominant tourism product that will erase primary production, or turn, if you like, our shepherds into tourist agents, to alter the character of the place. God forbid. Tourism should come to add value to our products, to the primary sector, so that the primary sector can develop and use tourism to enhance the value of its products and improve the living standards of local residents. Not for anything else, not to change the mountain's orientation, if you will. The mountain's orientation is specific, it's been that way for centuries and it will continue for centuries to come.
So the message is skiing on Psilloritis without altering the identity of the area.
Yes, I think that's the innovative and smart thing we need to structure as a product, something that will stand out from other similar products in Greece and the world and will be our competitive advantage.
Great. Thank you very much for the conversation.
Thank you for the hospitality.